You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show.
Hey there, Sons of Anarchy fans. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV After Show for Sons of Anarchy. This is the season finale, season 6, episode 13, A Mother's Work. I'm Matt Lieberman, and joining me on the panel tonight, we have the fantastic Mr. Stephen Lemieux.
Hey guys, good to be here.
Chrisley Kennedy.
Morning. I'm in mourning.
I know. And Kevin Undergaro is here.
I just have a lot to say.
I know. We got so much to talk about and not a lot of time to do it. Explosive finale. We all knew this was coming, but we had no idea how. We're going to save the majority of the discussion for it for later, but we have to just say poor Tara has been laid to rest. Tara and Roosevelt murdered by Gemma and by Juice. Shocking.
I have to correct you because she was not laid to rest at
she
all.
Will be.
She was stabbed, drowned, and knocked out.
Stick her with a fork. She's done.
Oh, gross.
No, it's
I'm speechless.
Yeah. I know.
I actually.
So brutal.
It's hard to watch.
Twice during this entire 6 seasons have I physically gotten ill from an episode. Last night was one, and the Gemma rape.
Gemma's
was
rape
the
was the other, yeah.
Last night, I literally, my stomach turned. I felt the food come up.
Well,
Thank you, Kurt Sutter.
From
Thank
the very you. Top of the show, Kurt Sutter wanted to make sure that you felt uneasy when Jax, he's writing, and then all of a sudden you see this dove in the road. And Jax speeds right through it and kills this dove.
Yeah.
Just an immediate, shocking, senseless bit of violence to prepare you for the violence that would end the episode.
There's no peace.
No peace whatsoever. We got a war coming. We got lots to talk about. So I want to jump in with Alvarez and Nero and this war that's brewing between August Marks and the Black Gangs. And we've got Alvarez and the Mayans. We got the Bizlats and we got the Asians all gearing up for this war in Stockton and Oakland for control of the gun trade, for control of drugs and prostitution, street gangs. How are you guys feeling? We saw Alvarez had an opportunity to keep things perfectly normal the way that they were. Jax did everything that he could to make him understand that things would not change. And then he killed the Niners anyway. He didn't give a crap. What is going through his head right now?
He didn't like the balance of power. He was insulted that Marks didn't show up.
Right, but would he have killed Marks if Marks had shown?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No. I think he would have probably talked tough with him and maybe drawn the line, felt him out. Chrissy, you think he would have killed Marks?
You know what's weird is, call me Debbie Downer, I have no thoughts on this because it's the least thing that I'm excited about. Like, I there's going to be a war. I understand that. But that whole storyline to me, for some reason, I don't care about. Like, I don't care about
because
the Mayans
coming back.
Because
it's not about any of our core characters.
Right. Like, I care so much more about the club and where it stands and where it goes from here than I do about this actual war. And I know that's what's going to bring the excitement and the drama and that element. But, like, even while it was happening and he shot them, it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that. And then it was like, okay, I don't care because this is more important.
Can I forewarn you?
Yes. Yeah.
That I think we've all been there before with Sutter's writing where we're like, oh, God, I don't care about.
Yeah.
Who's this new character? I don't care. I don't care. And then all of a sudden, fuck, I care. Excuse me. I didn't mean to swear.
Like, look
but
at Nero.
Right.
He just showed up
I
out of nowhere.
I always cared about him, though.
You always cared about him from the first episode when Jim wakes up in his bed? I didn't. I was like, who's this guy?
But I did. And I always liked him. And I always was interested in the dynamic of their relationship because it had to do with Gemma. It had to do with the family where this is
I felt like he came too fast and you know and like it was I felt like he was being forced on us and then all of a sudden.
And then he was great.
I totally got sucked in. And he, so now I know enough to just say, okay, I let Mr. Sutter handle the business.
Yeah.
And I go along for the ride.
I mean, I have faith in Kurt for sure. I have faith in this story because I have yet to be bored by anything in any episode. I've yet to want, you know, feeling like, oh, this, every show, Dexter had a season that I hated. Every show, Sons of Anarchy has not had that.
No. Oh, no, no.
And this is the one time that I can say in all of these seasons that I'm not interested in that one specific storyline.
Okay.
You better get interested because they're coming to kill our boys.
That's the next season. I mean,
it's a full-on war.
It was well done because they gave it 2 hours. They gave this whole episode 2 hours so they could have that real pacing where it brings back Alvarez, it brings back all these characters that, you know, you don't really necessarily care about, but the fact that they brought them back before the end of the season, it really refreshes your mind as to how they act and how, yeah, Jax and Alvarez are friendly now, but I mean, you go back
to
the
history. They were enemies before.
Yeah. Right.
But here's my question. Doesn't it make you nervous that this final season is going to be so heavy with all the drama within the other crews that we're not going to get as much Sons? Because that's where my nerves come in.
I'm not afraid of that.
Are we going to be talking about a 16-episode season like we've had in the past?
Where they split it in two, you mean? Where it's 8 and 8?
No, oh no, I'm sorry.
13 episodes.
No, 13 episodes. It'd be 13. Season. Okay, so no, my sorry. Question was, do you think it'll be hour and a half, 2 hour episodes like this year?
I think it absolutely will be.
So then I think, you know, a lot's going to be covered.
Yeah. I hope so, because that's where my concern is, and I don't want anybody listening to think, oh my God, she's not going to be a fan. I love the show. I love everything it's about. My concern is that because of everything going on, because of what we've seen, I mean, Alvarez is not someone we don't know. We know the Mayans. We've had dealings with the Mayans for the past 6 seasons, and I've always loved that because it was to do with what was going on.
Yeah,
but I'm just more worried that the war is
becoming bigger. Can I lay something on you? Here's what I think it's going to be, and Kurt Sutter is a master of taking us to places that we never expected to go. We all thought that this season was going to be all about Lee Torek and how he was going to take down the club when that was, a minor little speed bump in the grand scheme
of
things.
That's all
it was. It's entirely possible that this war is a catalyst for a far more interesting, intimate story among our main characters and how their allegiance will fall as they're being pulled back into the violence after finally getting out.
You we're ramping up this whole series, you guys, and like it or not, those other gangs were integral parts of the series. It has to get wrapped, and it can't just get wrapped in an episode or two. It's going to be a long, as we talked about, I think last episode, it's going to be a long, drawn out, ugly war.
Well, yeah. Well, it's I can't remember who says it in the episode. I think it's Borowski who's like, when you give up the crown, you're going to have peasants and servants at your table trying to take it. So if the whole series so far has been about trying to get out of the gun trade, you need to show what happens when you leave. When there's a power vacuum, violence follows. You look at it in any revolution, any time that a leader dies in an unstable country. You know, there's violence that follows as people try to figure out, you know, can I potentially step in and now be the big dog? And if Jax is going to make this decision, the last two seasons, he's been making a lot of unilateral decisions that affect other people outside of this crew.
Right.
And now it's time for the world to remind him that he's not alone in this. And I'm excited for it because it, especially with this new emotional pressure that he's going to be dealing with, having to raise his sons. You know, we don't know how things are going to shake out between him and Patterson in the wake of Tara's murder. To have this outside pressure as well, you know, I'm very, very curious to see if he will self-combust.
Who's that? Jax.
If it's going to be too much
for him. Let's save that for after Tara, because I think
when
we discuss Jax in the future of the next season, it's like there's going to be
a lot of discussion.
Yeah. So
the one thing that I do like in that storyline is the Nero part, because
that
Nero,
he didn't leave?
Who I love, is becoming, you know, he's
he got
at a
pulled
point,
back in too.
Right, he's at a point where he has to make some really tough decisions and is being put in situations that he's been trying to get out of so long. So that storyline for me, out of that whole situation, is the one that I care about.
But I didn't understand why he didn't leave. Alvarez gave him an out. Just go, and start that farm you've always wanted to start. And I know,
but
Gemma wasn't going to come with him.
But he got in the fight with Gemma.
Right.
He said, "Take your girl." Okay, so there is no girl now. There's no person to go.
He still has a son.
Yeah,
he still has a son.
But look at what these characters have all done out of love. When you look at every single character, whether it's Tara, Jax, Clay, Gemma, any of them, their root of most of their decisions and however twisted way we see it has all been out of love. Mm-hmm. And right now he's acting out of love because of Gemma. And so that's what's in front of him. And so that's what's, I think, making
when you say rebelling against the fact she broke up with him, so that's why he's doing it?
Yeah, I think that he's sticking around to see what can work with her and where it can go. I don't think it's – yes, I think part of it is when you're at the top for so long, how do you then just walk away from that? No one does.
Well, I think also he's not done dealing with Jax and Jax's many betrayals. Like, I think the big headline of this episode, the big theme of this episode and potentially the season is – betrayal. You know, Jax tells Juice, you betrayed me. Tara betrayed him. Gemma betrays Jax in the club because she thought that Tara had betrayed Jax. Right. It's all about betrayal, and betrayal is such a huge, powerful word. You can't really back away from it easily.
And then they use the word karma as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's, I mean, Kurt Sutter's always said that they're bad guys.
Yeah, it's the sins of the father. It's just always going to – it doesn't go away, guys.
Like, the final season is not going to be some happy ending. It's going to be very bloody, and it's going to be very heart-wrenching because I'm sure we're going to see some of the people we love most killed. I do like with the Brown Loves Brown storyline, we get Nero's right-hand man's kind of getting more ambitious and doing more things now.
Fiasco. Mm-hmm.
And we've seen him the whole season, so I'm glad that they're kind of pulling him more into the limelight now as opposed to just randomly out of nowhere. And in next season, I feel like he might be a big part in Nero's downfall with Alvarez. Because if there's any loose screws with Nero, it's going to be him going with Alvarez.
It's possible. I think that if Nero tries to back out now, he had his window.
Yeah.
He had his opportunity.
Yeah, he's not going to. No.
But
he's been on a slippery pole, Nero, from the beginning. I mean, since this poor guy met the Suns, his whole life just continues to crumble. So we know he's going to crumble further next season. Mm-hmm. The question for me is, we keep hearing what a badass gangster he was back in the day. It'll be interesting to see if that side comes out.
Looks like it's starting to.
Yeah. Right. Well, he's sitting at the table, but
when he confronted Jax at the Boneyard is when we really saw. It's like, don't you lie to me? Don't you lie to me?
Right.
You know, I know what happened. Like. An intensity, a ferocity, a barely contained anger that we haven't seen from him before. And it's going to be horrific to see it unleashed.
Which, by the way, being the only girl at the table is damn sexy. Like, damn sexy. That
the level of passion?
It was just the way he handles himself, the way he walks, the way that he talked in this episode was by far the best Nero I've seen. Being the only girl at the table.
Hey, you're allowed to have an opinion. We're all equals here.
Well, he just ends up in bad situations with the Suns. He doesn't really have a say. And now with Alvarez not even bringing money to the deal, bringing just rice, like making the joke about how we have to feed our kids and then killing all the Niners.
Asian rice, by the way.
Yeah. I mean...
That's what it was. I thought that was a...
That they threw Chinese food after they killed all the
black
people.
Yeah, no, it was a message. It was a message from the Asians, like, bring it, guys. Bring it. This is a war. We want you to know that the Asians are responsible in retaliation. In retaliation for when they killed Lynn's uncle.
Yeah.
Am I actually wrong?
Didn't notice that. I didn't notice that it was Asian.
All right. Well, anyway, we have to move on. We have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time. So Tara, she calls her lawyer. She's in this motel. She tells him to come to this park. And Jax and the Suns are hot on her trail. We got Juicy and Bobby in a van tailing this guy. And I'm like, he totally notices the van as he drives off from his office. And I'm like, why did he lead them to her so easily? This is the worst lawyer in the world. He should have known. He should have known he was going to be followed.
We were verbally shouting during this scene.
We were like, come on, guy.
I didn't see him notice the van.
He gets in the car. Yeah, he looks in his rearview mirror.
I don't think he noticed it.
Big old black van.
He didn't notice it, but he looked right at it. And, I mean, when he's dealing with this, you'd think that he would be on the lookout.
But he's not.
And immediately.
But what you're forgetting by thinking that is he's not the last lawyer who knows the Suns, knows the club, knows the history.
Agreed. He's the new, like, stemming. He has no idea. Yeah, no
but
idea.
It's like, I mean, even when I've done nothing wrong, if I drive past a cop car, I look in my rearview mirror for like the next 30 seconds to see if it's turning around.
That has a siren and says, police, this was a black van. Any
I don't
black
know.
Van.
Okay. Fine. Black van aside, how chilling was it when Tara's at the picnic table with Thomas and she's like, look, he's coming. Abel's running. He's like, he runs right past her. Daddy! The panic on her face was so palpable.
Oh, man. Great actress.
Yes.
That's
fabulous.
Can I tell you, by the way, that this is her best season? And I think it's because she knew she was gone. This is her best acting season yet.
She did a really wonderful job.
I mean, I was scared for her. Like, yeah. You know, it was so ominous when they all came up on her.
And she was just like, I'm dead.
That's it.
I'm dead right now.
Did any of you, so for the people that are listening, usually we watch the episodes together. And this week, obviously, we didn't because of scheduling conflicts. Did you all think that she was going to die?
I thought she was going to get out of it until Jack said he was going to jail. Because I'm like, they can't take him unless they're really going to do a seventh season set 10 years from now when he gets out of prison.
Yeah.
You know.
I had no idea. No idea. I kept going back to what one of you guys had said or even one of our fans had said on YouTube, which is like, they will never kill Tara because she's really part of the show and it needs to end on, for better or worse, something with Jax and Tara. Maybe they both die together, like Bonnie and Clyde or whatever. So I was just clinging to that. Yeah. I had no idea.
But then
never mind. We'll get there when we talk about Tara death.
On Anarchy Afterward, Kurt Sutter says that the plan was always to kill Tara at the end of season 6.
Mm-hmm.
He says, that was always the plan. I always wanted to see Jax having to live without her and raise his kids without her. For the last season of the show, this has always been part of the plan.
We should save this when we talk about her.
Okay,
the death because
we'll save the rest of the
predictions.
That
yeah,
bit. Yeah. But
this scene though, like I was pointed out while we were watching it, the cinematography that they do, they made her look so weak, and they vilify the gang with the camera angles.
Yeah.
And
low
it was
angle,
so well
looking
done.
Up at the gang, high angle looking down on her. Making
when you
her
see them in the
small.
Playground, you don't look at them as like members of the Suns. You look at them as like. These are like murderers with her kids.
Absolutely,
right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
I didn't see her as weak in that scene at all. Even
she
from
was
the
standing
moment.
Not weak, but scared.
I, no
weak.
Like, I mean, I just.
I mean, she stood her ground like, okay, you're going to kill me. Yeah. But she looked scared.
It's
I mean,
a cornered mouse.
No, for sure she looked scared. But I didn't see. I didn't see it that way. I didn't see them as threatening monsters. And I didn't see her as weak at all. And obviously, it's a difference in opinion. We all watch things differently, which
please.
Is great. But I actually saw one of the strongest Taras in that moment than we've seen in a long time. With them outside of the club, she's been very
she
strong.
Was,
with
you're
the
right,
lawyer.
She was strong because she said, can I say goodbye to the kids? Like, she didn't go
right,
into
she didn't
hysterics.
Go into hysterics, she right. didn't panic,
true.
She didn't run, she sat and took it like a man.
Okay, so then
what's going to happen next?
But as as audience members, I was weak as an audience member. I was shitting my pants when I saw it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The so look on his face itched from stone.
He was so serious. He was through that entire conversation right up until that very end moment where he says, you don't have to run anymore. Up until that moment, I mean, I was holding on to the blanket ready to cover my face that she was going to die in the park. You know, I mean, but. It was amazing on both of their parts because he was so stone-faced and she was so the fear in her face you could
oh,
feel.
Yeah.
Well, I watched a little bit of it earlier today again. Like we watched the beginning and I got to see. And I like watching the scenes in the beginning and seeing how they play out to help with the end. And in this case, we have Patterson sit down with Jax and she straight up tells him like, you are a father and a husband.
And a man.
And a man
before
you
all
are.
This. Yeah.
And you got to make your decision because it's going to destroy you if you choose the club over your family. It basically.
And
right.
It's
and
so
what about
ironic
that?
That the best advice that he's gotten almost all season came from her. Like she for the first time we saw her not be a DA, not be who she is in the world of law and as a mom who screwed up more than a few times. Be man to man with somebody and say, this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
This is the choice.
So, Stephen,
like,
what was your point?
My point was when you take that scene and then Patterson's looking at her as a husband and looking at her in this light. And then you go to Tara when Jack sits down with Tara, and Tara doesn't see that. Tara sees him as, you are the club first, and you're the husband and the man second, and I and
okay,
I
but then he die. But then he basically tells her, he takes the advice of passion.
Exactly.
What I found interesting was the juxtaposition of Gemma.
Mm-hmm.
Because when
she's cleaning those dishes at the top of the show.
And also, which, you know, is foreshadowing because you see it's kind of creepy. But no, when she's talking to Nero, and he says, you know, leave the club, you know, leave the club, leave your son, and come with me. Like what's first to you? You know, be a woman, be my wife, be a partner.
Yeah.
First. No. She's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm an old lady, and it's about the club, which I've always said from the beginning. It's just the club, the sons, that's it. Those kids, that's it for Gemma. She's just gangster bitch to the end. And so that's the difference between her and Jax.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think this ultimately redemption for Jax, it might not be in this life. You know, he might be offed, but I think there's hope for him because he chose being a man over the club. That's the choice that his dad was trying to make. That was the choice that Clay would never make. That was the choice that Gemma wouldn't make.
And it may yet pay off karmically for him.
I think it's going to pay off karmically in a big picture way.
Yeah.
Maybe not for him.
It's going to pay off in a really short bad run, way for Gemma.
But in the long run, I think for him and for his end goal, which more likely include him not living, but he may get his end wish, you know, and I'm pretty sure that is going to happen.
Yeah.
But again, we'll get there when we get to predictions.
Yes. So he and Tara, they come to this agreement that Tara won't have to give up the club, but Jax is going to go to jail as the sole provider of the KG9, wrapping up this school shooting storyline. He's going to take the hit for the club and for his family so that Tara can take the boys and be a good mother anywhere that she wants, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. It was a really beautiful, moving thing.
It was.
And it was, you know, shocking that he was willing to go so far, but at the same time, it's totally in line with who he is. And he totally could have handled 7 to 10 years with, you know, in prison, 7 with good behavior and parole. But it just wasn't meant to be.
In that moment, I literally jumped up, screamed, cheering. Oh my God, so excited. I can't believe he's doing this. She doesn't have to run. And then instantly in that next commercial break, I sat down and was like, oh, she doesn't make it to the end of the episode.
Wow, you knew.
Like,
yep.
There was,
wow.
At that moment,
because he can't
instant,
be put
no
away.
Way.
But yeah. I thought there might be another writer's device to get him out of jail. That's all what I thought. But I was dreading, like, oh no, please, I don't want to see Charlie Hunnam behind bars for 11 more episodes like I had to suffer through Clay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, please, no. Please,
but you know what it was for me? It was her
I'm such
saying,
a sap.
No, and I feel the same way. I don't want to see him in jail the whole next season. That would be the worst season ever. He's, you know, he is the club at this point. But the moment that she said to him, I'm ready to die for my children. And then that second moment when he said, I'm being the man you told me to be. It was instant. There's no way she makes it out of this because they're both willing to give up their lives for their children.
So one of them has to.
One of them's gone by the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I just started to feel sick the rest of the episode.
Ugh, and I'm so upset that it happened. And like, Steven and I, we got to watch it together. And we were like, oh my God, is it Tiggy? Is it, Juice? Like, who is it? And then we had no idea what was coming. I just need to really quickly talk about iTunes before we move on. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's reached out on iTunes, on YouTube, on Twitter. We love having a conversation with our fans. It's why we do what we do here at AfterBuzz TV. We put out 60 hours of free content a week, which is a crazy amount. That's over 2 full days. That's 2.5 full days of content. You could do nothing but listen to AfterBuzz TV or all of our shows from a week for 2.5 days. It's nuts, and we don't get paid for it. Do you love this show?
I do even better. I pay to be here.
Yeah, exactly. He pays for the whole thing. But here's the thing. If you love our show and you want to help us stay on the air and get more guests and get set visits and all this stuff, what you can do for us go to iTunes, slap the show with a 5-star rating, let us know how much you like the show, give us a sweet review. It helps keep the show more searchable. It helps more people find the show. It helps us get sponsors. It's so vitally, vitally important. So if you want to see us come back next year with the best, baddest Sons of Anarchy final season recap show you've ever seen, please, please, please go to the iTunes, slap us with a 5-star rating, let us know how much you love the show so we can keep doing it the best way possible. Okay, so we started talking, yeah.
Can we not talk about the deal? It was interesting that the gavel went to
Bobby.
Bobby, did you guys feel Chibs was initially insulted?
Yes.
Yes.
Completely.
Because he put up with all his crap this season.
And then it was, he was okay with it, or just...
He understood Jax's reasoning. It doesn't stop him from being a little hurt, but he understands that Bobby is probably, you know, a good level-headed leader. This is what Jax wants. If Jax is taking the big hit for the club, I'm not going to fight him on it. But I wish that he would have at least taken me aside beforehand and let me know what was about to happen. Because I'm his VP. I should be next in line.
And it makes complete sense when you look at it as Jax. Because Bobby has the same vision. He was the closest with his father. He loves the club. He wants everything in the same path. So it makes complete sense. But when you look at it from the opposite side, Bobby left. He chose to leave. And he went for a long time. Whether he was initially going because he was just done, whether he was going because he was trying to get more people, nobody knew any of that. So initially, he's gone. And Chip stepped up and did what he needed to do. And he's been doing what he needs to do and been that right hand for a long time, so of course he's going to be pissed off.
Okay.
But he also knows that it's, at the end of the day, his decision.
Yeah, it's absolutely his decision. And, you know, like, Bobby did leave, but he was VP before Chibs. He was VP in the last season
five. He's all about the club.
He's all about the club.
He went out, he recruited people, and he's just got a level head.
He's a good brother. He'll take care of everybody. But at the same time, I'm glad that Jax isn't going inside because Bobby is not the wartime president. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, you're right. No, not the wartime leader.
If anything, I'd like to bring Clay back for the war.
See?
And everybody knows how much I hate Clay. But if it's going to be as dirty as it sounds like it, as it already is looking to be, then Clay's the person I want to head that war.
Oh, Clay.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin got so happy, then he got so sad.
Yeah, no Clay. We really could have used Clay.
That is
interesting,
though.
I was surprised not to see you at the burial, actually, when they were burying.
Oh,
yeah, no,
I know. You know,
isn't it just,
surprised,
I mean,
not to see you there.
Just the demise of Clay and how long the demise was, you know, it's amazing. Just the pauper's death, the pauper's funeral.
Not even a headstone.
Mm-hmm. No. No.
Yep, and no one will remember him.
No, is that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Just shamed, mm-hmm. You know?
I love that scene where Unser comes to Gemma and she's like, was anyone else there? And he's like, nope.
Just me and the cons.
Just me and the cons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fitting end.
Isn't that amazing? And it just, you know, and then for her day, not a good day because she lost him, which had to bother her.
Right.
And then she loses Nero.
She loses Nero.
And then obviously,
the club. She's fearing losing the club. And then when it comes to her, you know, with this incorrect information that Tara has betrayed the club, betrayed her son, that her son is going to jail, she can't lose the last thing that she has. I mean, other than Wayne. But here's the thing. And I hate their relationship. I do.
Uncle Cancer? Why?
Yeah. Because
Uncle Touchy?
Because she uses him. She takes him so for
he
granted.
He allows her to.
I know.
Yeah, he does. And she does love him in her own weird way.
I know, but like, it just bothers me. I wish that he had more
She's
backbone.
So the dysfunctional mother of this club. The way she, you know, she goes from just completely psychotic, but then she does care about, in her twisted way.
I mean,
like,
look what she's doing
with Juice.
Stupid Wendy.
And Wendy, right.
You know, I mean, she does have a heart. It's just really dark. But with Unser, it's just he's so damn gullible. And that's, I think, what bothers me the most about the relationship is
he's not gullible. He's just in love.
He's besotted.
No, he was gullible. Can you go get my medicine? I mean, did any of us doubt that as soon as he left the room, she was getting in the car and driving away?
No, not at all.
He's gullible, but he likes to think the best in people.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit more background on him, too, and they ask him, I think it was Wendy, the conversation with Wendy. He's like, why don't you go? Why is your wife on a boat and you're just doing this? And he's like, because this is the only place where there's somebody else who loves me. And Gemma tells him, I love you. And no matter what capacity that love is in, that is still one person on this earth right. to a dying man who's in love with him.
You're right. You're right. So, when you're right, Steven.
I don't know.
No, it's the
humans
truth.
Humans are fallible.
It's not the love that I wish that he had because he deserves better, but love is love is love.
So getting back to the breakup of you know...
Her and Nero?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's already kind of a ticking time bomb in this office, and she has no idea what he's been sitting through, but this breakup, I know it's charged, but it feels like two 18-year-olds breaking up.
Are you dumping
are
me?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That? We just scoffed at that line.
Who
we
were says like, that?
Okay, here I go, taking up for Mr. Sutter.
You can take up.
Okay, him. Because I think that they are like
I guess
yeah, even when they make out, even like when they have sex, they're like a lot, and a lot of those midlife people who just can't give up the motorcycles, and it's kind of gross, but haven't you guys seen that where they still make out and just they still
in
act like they're 14 or 15.
I worked at a biker bar for many
years.
Right,
and they still act like they're 15. It's not just the bikers. It's just there's that certain group of middle-aged people like that still think it's an eighth grade romance.
He wasn't dumping her, though.
But that was her.
He was offering her forever on a farm.
Yeah.
Forever.
Okay, no, but she said, no, I cannot go. Next subject. I can't go because I'm not going to dump the club, dump my son, dump the grandkids. Next subject.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's,
he doesn't get a word out of his mouth. She's just like, wait.
Well, he says, I need a break. And by the way, because of Jax.
Right now, yeah.
And so an immature person is like, think about an eighth grade. I want to take a break. Are you dumping me? That's exactly what you'd say. And so I felt like that's exactly how it would go down.
And kudos to Kurt Sutter for knowing that stubborn women will push like that. Because
no.
I am that person.
No.
No. I don't want to talk about it right now. It's been a bad day. But what don't you want to talk about? But what happened?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Yep.
But why can't you tell me? Kudos to him, mm-hmm. right? Because that's exactly how it would have played.
Oh, yeah. No, it's absolutely.
Yes.
Push.
It's absolutely what Gemma would do.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish it had gone down another way. It led to the worst. Worst thing ever.
Yep.
Jeez Louise, Jim. Ugh. No. Do you think he's going to come back around to her? You know, like, I'm sorry for what happened at the top of
They're so connected. I don't know. I don't know. They're so connected to the opposite sides of the fence. I don't know. Will he? Feels like he'll help her. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like it's also ironic that Unser parked her car in probably to keep her there. And if he hadn't done that, she would have taken her car and they would have known that she was in the house.
It was all perfect.
I had a Breaking Bad moment this episode.
Karma.
Like I liked
there's,
it.
There's predictions. Well, I'm trying to save everything for predictions.
All right,
we
all
probably
right,
should
all right.
talk about the...
Juice.
Juice is let go. Yeah. Well, Juice is like, you betrayed me. And the way that in that wide shot, Juice just kind of wanders out. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. I thought he'd walk
into the
room
candy
and get
store.
Hit.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
He was like, interesting though, where that, and then they talk about it at the table, fill him in. He says to Bobby, fill him in about Juice. So what was Juice about to get killed? Or?
Of course.
I think
anybody that betrays the club is done. That's it. There's no coming
back.
You're
not depatched. You just get.
Well, Juice is already on his strikes.
I don't know that there's really a depatching.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's.
I think.
De-scalping,
it was
maybe.
definitely in his future. But it's very curious to me, how is he going to leverage. He can't tell the club about what happened with Gemma.
Oh, I don't know. We're getting into predictions. Let's stick with it.
We'll get to that. We need to leave plenty of time for predictions.
Exactly. So in comes Gem. And
she's like, what happened?
And I'm so lame, you guys. I'm such a fan and so not analytical about this that I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is where Tara proves she's Gemma 2.0 and she beats this old bitch. That's what I was thinking. Like, you know what? I was like thinking like that's how it was going to go. And boy, was I wrong.
That would have been rad.
I hoped to God in that moment that Tara was going to kill Gemma.
I thought
it was the first time I've ever wanted to actually see Gemma die.
But then and we'd or, be right or, back or, where
no.
we started.
No. Or put Gemma in a position of weakness. Other than the rape, it's rare that, or when she was beat by Clay, we've never seen her weak with anyone else. And it would have been interesting to see her get beat up by Tara and be like, go into next season, like, you know, again, usually I always look at these things like movies. So, you know, your first act of your movie is your setup. I mean, excuse me, is your introduction. Your second act is your setup. Your third is your resolution. You can usually tell in the third act whether or not you're going to have a happy ending or a sad ending by the second to last scene. If the second to last scene is something bad happening to the main character, more than likely you're going to have a happy ending.
So you're telling me we're all screwed.
No, I'm saying no. It's actually the other way around because it ended so bad.
Tragic, this is the third act.
There's a, this. We're going into this is the third act. This is our quote in a
second to last scene.
This is almost our second to last scene because it's the ending bad. It's went this bad. Chances are it will end on a positive note. I still say it'll be ironically positive, but I think it'll be a positive note because it was so bad.
Right,
if Gemma had won that fight,
yeah,
and beat her down, said, "Bitch, now you guess who's the queen of this club?
Oh,
it's
Tara.
Me."
Tara did.
If Tara did, if I'm the queen now, Jax is the king.
It would have ended.
You
poorly.
Shut your mouth. Then we knew next season for sure.
Would be a tragedy.
So yeah. And again, it's Sutter. You never know how he's going to take things. Generally speaking, in filmmaking, that's an old rule,
right?
So
okay, well,
I just
a
think
vicious
it's,
death, a knifing to the head. I mean,
a forking,
carving
a
knife,
forking to the head.
Yeah,
that was super vicious. I think as soon as we found out that if Tara lives, Jax goes to prison, I knew that Tara was dead. So even when I was thinking of how the scene could go, if Tara beat Gemma, I just think it would have been Juice shooting Tara.
Yeah,
that I mean, because I think there was no way.
Right. So okay. So in comes Juice and. He makes this move. You know, what's he thinking? Why does he do this?
Scene with Juice and Gemma.
Yeah, earlier scene with Juice and Gemma. They have a connection. She's the only person he has left.
She saved his life.
And she's almost said unconditionally, like, "Hey, I don't. Whatever happened, we'll get through it."
She's the only other person that understands the Clay relationship. There's so many reasons.
Here's the other thing: if he thought I'm a dead man and they're going to kill me. She's the only person that he could convince to help keep him alive. You know, he has this
Gemma,
thing over her.
Gemma's the only one that could convince Jack.
He kept her out of prison, and he's
to
the
keep
only person.
Alive.
Yeah, and he's the only person who knows that she killed Tara. It is to Gemma's best interest to keep keep Juice happy.
Can I tell you that the scariest part?
Sorry.
The scariest part of the moment for me was, you know, obviously she beats her, she slams her head into the sink, drowns her, and then the moment she grabs the fork, and I know you watched the Anarchy After moment as well, so you heard, I'm sure, the same thing I did, was they purposely did that shot where it's the fork and then her face, and it's the first time that you see Gemma act almost like every other time she's acted in this violent manner, it's been premeditated. She's gone in knowing what she was doing. Everything was a concise moment. And this was a break of rage that she literally did not see or realize what she was doing until it stopped and she fell. And that's when it hit her. Mm-hmm. And that's when she just panicked over and over again, it had to be done. It had to be done. She betrayed.
She was
it had to be done.
Yeah,
like
she was in shock.
She did not go into that house seeing that happen.
She
like,
did
that was
not
a break.
Plan it.
And that's what was scary for me.
Mm-hmm. It's just, she's completely out of control. She's lost grasp of reality. She's so desperate that's all she could do.
The whole time you're thinking, just stop. I mean, she could still make. After the fifth, you're like, no, it's done.
Yeah, done.
I honestly thought Juice was just going to, I mean, I didn't think of what you were thinking that time, where he would use that with Gemma to save his place
in
the club.
Again, I don't think premeditated. I think in the moment, it was just, he was calling the cops, so Juice did what he had to keep Gemma out of prison. But I have to imagine that next season, it's not going to be lost on him. As Gemma put it, he's not the kind of guy who loses track of things.
Oh, that's good.
She put that early in the episode. He's like, I must have lost track of how many I had. She's like, Juice, you're not the kind of guy who loses track. Mm-hmm. So,
and there's no way, I guess that's a prediction, I'll be quiet.
And he says, I don't want to die, I just don't know how to live with this.
Let's go to predictions.
Yeah, I say we do. Predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
So isn't it interesting that Uncle Touchy's truck was last seen at the crime,
not Uncle
right?
Touchy.
Not Uncle Touchy.
Touchy's the one with
the
hands.
No, Uncle Touchy is Uncle Cancer.
Uncle Cancer, yeah.
Yeah, is Cancer.
So isn't it interesting? He loves Gemma so much. He's dying of cancer. What do you guys think of him taking the rap for the murder? Because
oh,
it was his truck
there. I hope not.
And he knows he's dead anyway.
But well, all the witnesses are dead. The only witnesses...
Well, unless we mean a neighbor or somebody, I'm
I
saying.
That's true.
Sees his truck there.
Yeah. It's a small town.
Yeah, you know, or they find a tire thing. Or whatever. You know, I'm just saying it's interesting because he could take the hit.
Yeah.
He loves her enough to take the hit, and
he's
dying.
And he doesn't have much else to live for.
You know, and here, another interesting thing is we've talked about the young girl, why she was brought in. She dropped the bike. Now all of a sudden she's working at the ice cream shop. She gives Jax a kiss tonight and says, you know, whatever she says. And then
we see the
homeless lady again going by the garbage that Juice just threw all the stuff in. So you bet your ass that homeless lady is coming back next season wearing some of Gemma's bloody clothes.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. And that's why they brought her in the first place, because she's going to be part of the aftermath of the whole series.
Yep. She's going to be whether or not she is that girl's mom, she is going to be the person that's going to have the evidence that's going to bring Gemma down.
And I'm sorry, guys, but we believe that girl is Jax's little sister, correct?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe she's the little sister, but I think that car crash, that woman never died in that car crash, and that homeless woman is her mom. That's what I think.
Yeah. We don't know. I don't know if it's his little sister, but she's definitely in her own way part of the family, because, you know, her mother was part of this car crash that caused his father to die, potentially.
And
still
they brought
think it would
be... so much attention to her in this episode. Like three times somebody commented on the new girl. Oh, she's cute. Oh, Jax felt bad.
Well, I mean, that's letting the viewers know she's going to stick around.
Oh, yeah.
I was happy to see Tiggy's doggy back.
I know.
Rescued.
They saved that puppy from the fighting ring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering for next season, I'm wondering how Gemma is going to...
live with herself.
Yeah, how she's going to live with herself, what the relationship, how much she can tell anyone. Like, who's going to find out? And
I think she lives with... I think she's fine.
Does she tell Uncle Touchy?
I want to know where Wendy's going to fit into this.
Well.
What's that?
I want to know where Wendy's going to fit into this in the final season, because she's going to rehab now, but I'm sure, like, episode 5, 6 next season, she'll be coming back.
I think she's taking those kids.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I think she's cleaning up, taking the kids. I think,
she wouldn't have told
such
Abel
a long,
that
long
she was his real mother for nothing.
I think this is such a long lead prediction. Is I feel like the guns, the whole, because all those guys are involved in guns, they're all going down. I think August Marks is going down. I think that the Chinese Lin's going down. I think Alvarez going down. And if Jax does go down with him, which he more than likely will, it's for the greater good to get rid of guns and to free them. I think the club lives on, or Jax and the club is sacrificed for guns. But my ultimate prediction is guns go away.
Yeah.
And I think that's the final part. I think Jax giving his life, that makes sense. Jax and the club going away for guns, that's kind of cool that the club made this mess and then cleaned it up. But it also is a little bit against what Jax's dad was trying to do, which was like make the club legit. You know, make the... So I think that's what you're going to see. I think it was going to be a bad year next year. It's going to be very bloody. I think ultimately all those parties perish and guns go away. That's what I think.
I'd love that. That sounds like a wonderful finale.
I just had a random thought, and it might be crazy because she has such a huge sense of justice, but Patterson, we're always told that Marx has political ties. I mean, could Marx perhaps have a pocket in Patterson somehow?
Or somebody around her, or more powerful than her, maybe. Maybe.
Her boss, yeah.
She's still around, and she'll probably be here next season.
And Marx is going to find out what that Jax killed Pope.
Yeah.
And I also...
That's going to get uncovered.
Yeah, I also think that Patterson is going to let Jax go. Because that moment, it ends on Jax, us seeing him the most hurt we've ever seen him, the most vulnerable. She walks in, she sees the situation, and for me, watching her see that, she knew that Jax was not responsible for what happened in that house. And I think that ultimately, she's not going to let him go to jail because he had wanted to step up, be a man, do the right thing, save this, and then this is what happened. So that's how I think he doesn't go to jail, because I think she says, you know what? We got what we needed. We have somebody in jail. We have the name. Because, I mean, they gave the Irish, the Galen thing, all that.
Right.
And I think that's how ultimately Jax ends up not in jail. And where it goes from there, my hands are completely up in the air.
I love that you brought Damon Pope into this, because what does Nero say to Jax? He says, you know that stuff you just kind of forget about? It never goes away. Yeah. It always comes back.
Yeah. Well, so. Kurt Sutter got, you know, cut his teeth writing on the shield. And the thing about that show was everything that ever happened came back to bite the characters in the ass. You know, Kurt Sutter is definitely bringing that back with this series. And I guarantee that anything that was like left open-ended is going to come back to haunt our players in the final season. I want to thank you all for an incredible season of After Shows.
Do you think Jax makes it at the end of next season?
No.
No.
I don't either.
I think he gives his life for the cause.
I agree too. Okay.
But for the greater good. For the greater good of the club and the greater good of getting rid of guns.
Agreed.
Hope Chibs makes it though.
Yeah.
We all do.
Chibs makes it. Kevin, where can the people find you?
At Undergaro, and I do Bar Rescue, and I think tomorrow I'm doing this thing, Anatomy of a Movie, and the film that we're going to dissect is Nebraska.
Great. Chrisley.
Oh, my goodness. I almost just choked and died. You can find me on Twitter at Chrisley, and then go check out my Tumblr, The Movie Chick.
Okay, Stephen Lemieux.
You can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-U-X, or on the Sleepy Hollow After Show coming back in January.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's M-A-T-T-L-I-E-B-E-R-M-A-N. I just joined Instagram, Matty Lieberman. So that's
baby.
Matt Y. Lieberman. I've mixed feelings, but follow me on it. It'll be cool. I'm also here on AfterBuzz TV on Sleepy Hollow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Almost Human. I got the beta show starting on Amazon with two back-to-back episodes this Thursday, and a bunch of new shows starting the winter, new shows starting all the time, so I'll keep Woo-hoo! You posted. Thank you guys so much for a wonderful season. You're the best fans in the world, and we will see you next fall. Good night.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After Shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.